Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking about the recently completed Packers rookie minicamp. We're looking forward to OTA starting in just a little bit. We have a member of the Green Bay Packers joining us to kick off the show this morning. We have rookie cornerback Ryan White joining us. Ryan, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, man. Glad I can be here on the show. Thanks for having me.
No problem. We're very glad to have you. Now, as I understand it, Ryan, today's your day off. Is this a situation where you kind of practice Monday, Tuesday, and then again Thursday, Friday, or how does it work?
Yes, definitely like that. Usually, with you, when we first got here, we was every day, you know, trying to catch up on the playbook and, you know, just having meetings and things of that nature. But now we have off, so you pretty much, you know, you can do what you want to, but, you know, they really want you to still be studying and things like that of that nature.
So you'll be studying the playbook on your day off then, I take it.
Yes, definitely am.
Now, again, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe this week is dedicated to individual position workouts in which you would be working out with the cornerbacks. How is that going, working out with the cornerbacks group?
Oh, it's going great coaching and Joe Witt Jr. And I actually have some best I can look up to who have been in the league, such as Tremont Williams and Sam Shields.
Yeah, I imagine that's quite a group to work out with. Those guys have proven themselves in the NFL and have done some special things. What are your first impressions of Coach Witt?
Coach, straight up guy, man. You know, he's gonna tell you how it is, and he's going to be on you. And you know what I'm saying? If he's there, you're not going to be on twice. So if you can't get it right, you're not going to be in there. And that makes it all the well, too.
Now, let's go backwards here. This past weekend was rookie minicamp in Green Bay. What was that like, taking part in practice with just members of the rookie class?
Was a very good experience for me. You know, coming out of college, I just want to improve right away. The rookie minicamp is where it started. Being in there with guys from different colleges and, you know, coming together, bonding, and playing football.
We're losing you from time to time here, Ryan. I think the reception isn't that great. I'm not sure if you can go by a window or something. That might be better. But, you know, what is the schedule here, Ryan? I know this week is Wednesday's your day off, but next week you have practice open to the public on Wednesdays. Are you ready for organized team activities?
Yes, I'll definitely be ready by then. You know, going through the with the older cornerbacks has really helped me, and I think I'll definitely be ready.
We're talking to Packers cornerback Ryan White here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Let's talk a little bit about your time at Auburn. You were part of Auburn's national championship team in 2010. Is that an experience you'll never forget?
God. I'm doing something out today.
We're losing you, Ryan. I'm not sure. I'll try one more question here, but the reception, we're just not hearing you at all. You played both cornerback and safety in your time at Auburn. Is that something you think you can do in the NFL, or are you strictly focused at cornerback for the time being?
I can do anything, man. Just trying to be a part of this great organization. In fact, whatever they ask me to do, I'll do. I'm open to anything.
Well, that certainly sounded a lot better. You were also the place kick holder, which is something you don't see a lot of defensive players do. Have you let the Packers know you can do that too?
Well, the Packers definitely know that that I was holding kicks, and you know, I told them I was open to doing it if they needed me to do it. So, like I said, you know, I'm here to make the team. I'm here to do whatever possible to make the team.
Now, as I understand it, part of the reason you held on place kicks is because of your background as a quarterback in high school. You actually helped Auburn score on two-point conversions both through the air and on the ground. Do you have some athletic ability that others don't have that allows you to do this?
Definitely. That was definitely our plan. Coming in, actually, my sophomore year, that was our plan with Coach. And, you know, I just stuck with it. And Coach Miles, to have fun.
Finally, before we let you go here, Ryan, you picked off Johnny Manziel in college, Johnny Football. Tell us about that experience and what happened on that play.
Well, everybody knows that Johnny Manziel likes to scramble around and make plays. And, you know, I was just being in good position and sticking zone and being responsible, and he didn't throw it up. And, you know what I'm saying, I said that night before that I wanted to pick Johnny Manziel up, and the opportunity was there, so I had to take advantage.
Very good. Well, you did a good job. I hope to see plays like that with you in a Packers uniform, and I think the rest of the Packers fans do too. I wish you all the best of luck, Ryan. Good luck during OTAs, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, take care. Ryan White, new rookie Packers cornerback, joining us here at Railbird Central. Few issues with reception there, but I think we got the majority of his interview all right. So glad he took the time out of his schedule on a day off to talk to us. That's very generous of him. As he says, he'll be looking at the playbook today, even though it's his day off. But anyway, interesting here. We're the Packers rookie mini camp this past weekend is now in the books. From here on out, this week is the last week of phase two of the Packers off-season program, in which they do individual position workouts. No team stuff yet, but you know, the cornerbacks like Ryan White is getting together with Joe Witt, and like he said, his new teammates, Sam Shields, Tremont Williams, they're all getting together as cornerbacks this week, going through drills, things like that. And it's the same for every group, whether it's linebackers, running backs, wide receivers, all getting together as positions, doing little drills, things like that. That's the focus this week. And then next week, organized team activities. I imagine they're taking the weekend off for Memorial Day, but you know, after Monday, they get back into the swing of things and start actually practicing in a team environment for the first time next week, this off season. Next Wednesday will be a practice open to the public, at Ray Nitschke Field, I believe. The getting back into the swing of things here in Green Bay. They'll be practicing all week long. It's just that next Wednesday is one open to the public. They have about one practice open to the public per week. That'll be interesting to watch if you have the opportunity. Go check it out. But since our last episode of Railbird Central this past Monday, that we spent the majority of the show talking about the potential and the possibility, and I laid out the case for the Packers signing tight end Colt Laierla, and it ends up finally happening. So since our last episode, the Packers sign Colt Laierla along with two other undrafted rookies, Luther Robinson, a defensive lineman out of Miami, and a defensive back, Charles Clay, out of the University of Hawaii. So those are your newest members of the Green Bay Packers. In order to make room for all three, the Packers also cut a tight end. There's more space now for Colt Laierla at the tight end position, although it still is a crowded group, no doubt about it. Seven tight ends on the Packers roster currently. They'll have to cut that down eventually, but Colt Laierla getting a chance in Green Bay. I think it's a good idea. As I've spoken about before, the risk comes not so much right now during the off-season portion of the program. I mean, they could certainly, if they have to, if they want to, cut him at any time. And you know, there's very little guaranteed money, I'm sure, in his contract. I haven't seen the details, but I very highly doubt he got anything more than a minimal signing bonus, if that. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he got no signing bonus. He's just strictly, it's all up to him. It's all on his plate whether he's going to get a chance in the NFL or not. But I mean, the Packers giving him a chance. As I said, ever since he was arrested for cocaine possession, everything's been good since that time, in that he's stayed out of the police blotter. He hasn't been arrested again. He hasn't been in trouble again. It's kind of weird, you know, meeting him at the NFL Combine. He kind of gave off this little air of arrogance, maybe. I don't know. It's like I go and read the transcript of what he said, and everything he said was good. The body language, though, didn't come off as particularly great, and I don't know. I should be careful here, as you know, has been discussed many times in the run-up to the NFL draft. It's dangerous territory when you start to become a body language expert, and the prime example was what, Cam Newton a few years ago, where was it Nolan Rocky? Tried to be the body language expert and tried to, you know, examine him from that standpoint. And, you know, I don't know. I attended Colt Lyra's Q&A session with the media at the NFL Combine. I kind of got this impression that there's a little bit of arrogance there. But if you strictly read what he said all the right things. You know, he's trying to get back on track. He's, you know, heeding the advice of mentors, and it's in his past, and he's committed to a future in the NFL. All those things. He says all those things in his Q&A session he did with the media. And you know, he hasn't done anything wrong since that time. The kid deserves a chance, I think. Like we said, it's pretty much all up to him. I mean... the burden is on Colt Lyra to stay out of trouble and commit himself to a career in the NFL. I know, you know, he quit the program at Oregon. I know some people are kind of scared that there's the potential he could quit on the NFL, and you don't want to see that happen during the middle of a season, let's say, like he did at Oregon. Is there a good chance of that happening? I doubt it. But you just saw former Wisconsin player John Moffitt quit the NFL last season in the middle of the year with the Denver Broncos. Kind of a weird situation. You don't see that very often, but it does happen. Just kind of retired from football, didn't want to play anymore. You know, it kind of sounds like there were some extenuating circumstances there in terms of his background, ends up getting arrested. I'm not sure he was ever charged, but ends up getting arrested anyway. I mean, we've beat this horse to death almost already in terms of, you know, Colt Lyra's character and things, if what could happen or what could not happen. Anyway, I'm glad the Packers gave him a chance, and they have 3+ months to make the real decision on Colt Lyra, and that's whether he deserves to be on the 53-man roster or not. So, it's again, so much is up to Colt Lyra. At some point, it does, you know, become the Packers' decision when it goes to the 53, because then they're assuming some risk. But until that point, they can part ways here at any time if they have to. But it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Be interesting to see him in action as early as next week with the Green Bay Packers. I couldn't tell you that much about the other draft picks or the other rookies the Packers signed. Luther Robinson out of Miami. Kind of sounds like a defensive tackle. He's 300 pounds. I hope he's got what it takes. I can't even tell you that I've watched film on him. I haven't. Maybe I should here coming up. I did do a little bit of just internet research on Charles Clay, the defensive back the Packers signed out of Hawaii. The most interesting thing is his speed. He's got 4.4 speed. He displayed it at both his pro day workout, and he was also invited to the NFL Super Regional Combine in Detroit, where he, you know, very much ran same kind of speed, has a good vertical jump, like 37, 38 inches, really good. Interesting thing, he played safety at Hawaii, but you think with 4.4 speed, wow, there might be a chance that he could be a cornerback instead of a safety. I really have no clue where the Packers plan to play him. I'm interested to see how it works out. He played a lot of special teams at Hawaii. He actually transferred from Southern Methodist, SMU, before that. So he's been around the block before. He's a guy who hasn't, you know, been at just one program. But he's a Hawaii native, actually grew up out there. So after, you know, trying to play at SMU, just, you know, getting sparing playing time his first 2 years there, goes back home and plays for the home state university. You know, he wasn't a star at Oregon. In fact, they had a terrible year this past year, didn't they? Did they even win a game? Did Oregon go 0-12? Hawaii go 0-12 this past season? Or did they win one game maybe? Not all that good, but it's an intriguing signing just because of how athletic the kid is, Charles Clay. And again, we'll see what he's got this upcoming week as the Packers start OTAs. In speaking of OTAs, the one, you know, topic I guess I want to touch upon here is a column I wrote, and I want to get the readers, viewers, listeners, your input into this as well. I broke down the best battle at every position on the Packers roster here at CheeseheadTV.com. You can go to our website, check it out. It's currently our featured article right on the homepage. I'll throw it out there to you, and maybe I'll see some of the answers on our live blog for those listening to the live show, but I'll pass them along to everyone. What you think the best battle at every position is on the Packers roster? Maybe I'll just throw out, what do you think the best battle is on the entire Packers team? What are you most looking forward to seeing? And you know, at the tight end position, I listed Colt Laierla as kind of being, you know, the battle against himself and whether or not he can win a roster spot as being the best battle at the tight end position. We've already gotten to that, so I won't, you know, delve into that more here. I thought, you know, the one I kicked off the article with, because it's a high profile position, is that quarterback where Scott Tolzien is battling for a backup quarterback job. And what's interesting here about this is Scott Tolzien is now entering his fourth year in the NFL. And in your fourth year, you are no longer practice squad eligible. They can no longer stash him there, keep him there. The Packers either keep him or they don't. They keep him or he's on the street, you know, unlike a lot of rookies or young players where they could cut him but then sign him back to the practice squad. That's not going to happen in this case here. I think it's less interesting, you know, whether Scott Tolzien can be the number two, the number three quarterback. It's whether they keep him at all that's interesting or not, because I think if they do keep Scott Tolzien, they are basically saying, we think he can be a backup in this league. He's worthy of being on the 53-man roster, not only this year, but potentially for years to come. I mean, because they have Matt Flynn as well, and obviously you think that you know Matt Flynn has the inside track on the backup job. He's the veteran. He's more experienced. He, you know, led the team to several comeback victories last season while Rodgers was down. But I'm not ruling anything out from Scott Tolzien here. Maybe beating out Matt Flynn in terms of being the top backup. But you know, both of them are under 1 year or they are in the last year of their contracts in 2014. So the Packers kind of have to decide what they're going to do at that position moving forward. You know, do they want to sign Matt Flynn for the long term? Is he going to be kind of, I've used this comparison many times, is he going to be the Doug Peterson to Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre? You know, kind of, you remember Doug Peterson was a backup to Brett Favre for so long in Green Bay. Just kind of a veteran guy who really had really no chance of ever being a starter in the NFL. But was kind of, you know, just one of those guys who is a consistent backup, a guy you could rely upon. I could see Matt Flynn being that kind of guy potentially in the NFL, but I don't know. Maybe the Packers want to go the route of a younger guy with better potential, a higher ceiling, and Scott Tolzien could be that guy. I don't know much about Chase Reddick yet, other than what I've seen him from in college, which has been good. I've seen him play a few times live. I haven't watched that much film on Chase Reddick, but I've watched Boston College play in the past, and he's done well. But I wouldn't think he would be anything more than a practice squad candidate his first year in the NFL, unless he absolutely blew people away. We'll find out. What's going to happen there. So really interesting, I think, to find out what will happen there. And I asked, you know, what you think the best battle, position battle is on the Packers roster. And there's been no shortage of answers here on the live blog. Eric Young Smith throws out wide receiver as being a battle. Travis throws out center position as being one of the best battles on the roster. John throws out, I'm curious to see how they change the front seven. There is no shortage of options here in terms of what the Packers could do this offseason at many positions. And I agree with all of those. Wide receiver, center, front seven on defense. With wide receiver, you know, the Packers brought in these three rookie draft picks. You know, how many of them can make the roster? And as I suggested, you know, how far can Davante Adams climb on the Packers depth chart? Obviously, I think Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb are kind of the top guys, the top players, the top options. Beyond that, it'll be an interesting battle between Davante Adams and Jarrett Boykin. I think obviously being the veteran, Jarrett Boykin has the inside track, but I don't think he has the potential of Davante Adams, who probably is the better overall athlete. We'll see, though. I kind of take the perspective of a coach, and I'm not going to make any prejudgments here before seeing these guys in practice, but you know, that's my initial impression at least, and I'm more than willing to change my mind based upon what we see happens take place in OTAs, mini camp, training camp, all those kind of things, preseason games. The center position is really intriguing between JC Treader and then the Packers drafting the first true center of the Ted Thompson era in Corey Linsley out of Ohio State. Just simply because of the uncertainty at the center position, Corey Linsley stands a very good chance of winning the starting center job. By no means is he guaranteed that job, but I mean, hey, he's it's very much his as it is J.C. Treader's, who hasn't proven anything in the NFL either, in his fact coming off of injury this past season. But here you got a guy in Treader who was a fourth-round draft pick last year, Lindsley a fifth-round draft pick this year. It would seem to be one of those guys more than likely will end up coming away with the starting center job. Not that I'm discounting Garth Gerhardt, Don Barkley. Those guys might have a chance, but I think the inside track will go to Treader or Lindsley, and they'll be duking it out all off season long. I can guarantee a week from now when OTAs start, we'll be talking about who's getting the first reps with the first team and who's next in line, who's, you know, the second string. We'll be analyzing that and probably analyzing it more than we should during the offseason time of year, because it doesn't really mean a whole lot right now. It means more what's happening in training camp than OTAs, but still fun to look at and speculate and see who the Packers, you know, are pegging at least initially at those positions right away. The front seven, it's so weird. It was almost tough for me to come up with position battles on the front seven because we really have no clue what the Packers have in store, especially at the outside linebacker / defensive end elephant position. You know, how often are they going to use this and what the Packers, you know, Dom Capers, I've said this before, they didn't pay Julius Peppers $7.5 million signing bonus to do the same old thing the Packers have been doing. You know, they've got plans, they've got changes in store, and we don't know exactly what those changes are. You know, we know they're going to incorporate this elephant end position somehow, but how exactly they do it, you know, is totally up in the air. Obviously, the Packers aren't about to just publicize their plans. You know, Dom Capers isn't going to come out and say, oh, yeah, Julius Peppers is going to do this and this and this and X and Y and Z. They don't want the opponents to know, so they're keeping it secret. But I mean, that is something I'm looking forward to. It's probably something we won't even get a very good idea about during OTAs. It won't be until training camp until they, you know, start implementing some schemes for the beginning of the regular season that we start to actually get a good idea of what's going to happen there. I'm more excited to see that than probably anything. The changes the Packers have in store in the front seven, at outside linebacker, defensive line, even inside linebacker. I think these guys will be used in a variety of roles. They need to be versatile. It's going to be Mike Neal lining up one snap as an interior rusher and the next snap at outside linebacker. I've wondered many times that might Clay Matthews be an inside linebacker blitzing type of guy more often than we've seen in the past. And from the same perspective, maybe Carl Bradford, the rookie out of Arizona State, could kind of fill that role as well, something he did in college a little bit. So there's endless possibilities here about how these guys might be used, and we'll see how they'll be used shortly. So I mean, that to me, that might be the most exciting one, is and I can't single out a position here, whether it be outside linebacker, inside linebacker, defensive line, just the front seven as a whole, as John suggested on our live blog. You know, that right there, is going to be, it bears watching all off season long, from now, from May until training camp in July and August, and even into the start of the regular season. There's going to be some tricks up Dom Capers' sleeve, and that's a good thing. I think a lot of people thought, you know, these past few years, the Packers defense has gotten a little bit predictable, and that's why opposing offenses have had success. And I think it has, but I think there's also been reasons for it. You know, the Packers were very much injured on defense this past season, including, you know, Casey Hayward, Clay Matthews missing practically half the season each. But then there's just guys who are dinged around here and there, miss a game or two, that just made things difficult on the Packers defense and almost forced them to be a little bit vanilla. Whereas if they were healthy, you know, they could try some different things and they have more time to practice and fool around with different, you know, blitzes and all sorts of different things. You know, it was back when the Packers won the Super Bowl that they were, you know, fooling around with the psycho package and all those kind of things that really are interesting. And it's not like you use the psycho package a whole lot, but just something to throw opposing offenses off, something else they got to plan for, some new look that hopefully will open up just one player to get to the quarterback. It's all it takes, just one guy, and you start seeing success. And hopefully that's what the Packers have in store in 2014. But that'll do it for a Wednesday morning edition of Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central here. As we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So make sure to join us again Friday morning as we talk some Packers once again. Thank you to Packers rookie cornerback Ryan White for joining us on the show this morning, talking a little football, talking about rookie minicamp and what lies ahead. Glad he could carve some time out of his schedule to talk to us. It was really generous of him. But we'll see you later, folks. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, and I'm Brian Kirivu, I leave you today with a song called Freaker by the Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.
Spinning around, how do you not get yet to fall down?